Well, good afternoon.
Good morning.
I don't know if anybody else feels it, but it feels like it's an evening service. When the time changes like this, I know it's an hour, but man, oh man, it just messes my routine all to pieces. But it's still great to be in the house this late of the day to get to worship the Lord. Well, good morning and welcome to Liberty Baptist Church. My name is John Spear, and it's great to see you all here this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, and we're going to be in the book of Philippians again. Been there for a few weeks, I'll be there for a few more, but just really trying to see what Paul is writing about, finding joy. You know, we think about it, truly, is that not what we do? Is that not what we desire, is to find joy? Do we not do things that make us happy? You know, I just feel like that's a whole heart of us as a people, is that we want to be happy, whether that's insecurity, relationships, whatever it may be. We want to find that happiness, the things that bring us happiness. And I think the true happiness comes from love. You know, and that love is from God. It's that relationship with God is the real happiness, the real joy, and we're going to be looking at that today. And this may seem a little odd because last week we talked a lot about doing things. We talked about being active. We talked about working out our salvation. You know, that's what Paul said, work out your salvation. And we talked about doing things like the Operation Christmas Child boxes and being the hands and feet of Jesus. But we also see there's an aspect of things that can be taken the wrong way. Because Paul can say in his statements that a lot of the things I did were in vain. You know, it's not a matter of we're doing this. We're not putting together Operation Christmas Child boxes to count for our salvation. We're not doing, you know, outreach events to count for my salvation. That salvation is a free gift of God. You know, Jesus Christ paid that price on the cross, and it's offered to us free. And we're going to see Paul really emphasizing that today, that it's not the cross plus anything. Salvation comes from the cross. You know, the sermon title today is My All in All. You know, I just think about Jesus Christ as being my all in all and God being my all in all. And in Sunday school this morning was talking about, you know, willing to go and share. And we got to share our all in all. Paul is writing from prison, but yet he's speaking of joy. And it's not based on circumstances. We've done talked about that. But it's in that relationship with Christ. And in this text, Paul shows us how to find lasting joy. Not in religion, not in achievements, and not in anything of that nature, but it's in that relationship with Christ. That's what Paul has discovered. That's what he discovered when he met Christ. Everything he thought once brought joy was nothing. It was meaningless. It was nothing. And that's where we need to come. You know, Philippians 3 shows us that real joy isn't in our accomplishments, but it's in our relationship with Jesus. If you found Philippians chapter 3 and you're able, would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, going through verse 11, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the death. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for Your word. I'm so thankful for the comfort that we can find in it, Lord. You know, it offers us correction because we are easily confused. Lord, I pray that we can just draw close to what You are teaching us. I pray that You will reveal Your word to us, what You mean for us to do and to be and to know, Lord. Lord, I am so thankful for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for Your love and grace and Your willingness to come and die on that cross for us, Lord. I just pray that today, Lord, You will hide me behind that cross, that Your words will speak clearly, that You will reveal and unfold this word right before us, Lord. I'm so thankful again for my salvation, and it's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. My all in all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. And looking at this today, we're going to be looking at 3 points. And the first one I want us to look at is that we got to guard our faith. Just that, guard your faith. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, and he starts this off with finally. And I've heard some say that, you know, it's kind of like a pastor who says in conclusion and then an hour later they wrap it up. That's not what he's saying. It's not saying that I'm coming to the end, but he's also saying, listen to this. I also have a little something else to say here for you. And he tells him, he says, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord for me to write this same thing to you. You know, sometimes as a pastor, whenever you're sharing the good news, you can feel like maybe you're stepping on people's toes. You're telling them that their way of life is just not right. I mean, do you ever fear that whenever you're sharing the good news? I know there's people in my life that I truly feel like they struggle with coming to the Lord because they love the things that they do. They love the things that they have in their life that they feel like they would have to give up and would probably want to give up if they started following the Lord. And that's hard. I mean, is it not? You know, is that not sometimes hard to tell people? Because we don't want to face that we're loving people, right? That's what religion is all about. It's just being love, and you love in all things and all circumstances. But Paul's saying, I'm not burdened by this. I'm not burdened by saying that following the law, that being a Judaizer is wrong. I'm not bothered by this because I know Christ Jesus and the difference that He made in my life. It's safe. This is good. Follow this. Listen to this. It's not the circumstances, but in the Lord, redemption is good for all through faith. And he goes on to say, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. What does that mean? What is he talking about? Beware of the dogs. You have to think this day and age what they were facing. You know, Paul had been in Philippi, and he had been arrested in Philippi. And there wasn't a huge Jewish following, but yet there was a Jewish following of Paul. You know, it's kind of like, let's step in his footprints. Let's follow him and we can gain off of the things that he's done. But yet they wanted to add, you know, Christ is good, the cross is good, Jesus is good, but yet you still need to be circumcised, you still need to follow the law, you still need to. And Paul's saying it's not that. Beware of these things, because all is in Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus and anything. And that's for us. We've really got to hang on to that, that Jesus Christ is all. He is our hope. He is our everything. He is our joy. He goes on to say that beware of the evil workers. You know, they would come along behind, and these dogs and these evil workers, they would come along, and you have to think, man, whenever it says beware of the dogs, I think you all know I love my dogs. I love dogs. This isn't the same view that they had. You know, I know Doc sees there's probably people who give everything for their dogs, no matter what. Set on a pedestal. They have their own little beds in the house, their own little bowls. Everything is just, you know, it's set up high. That's not the way this word. Dogs were dirty. They licked wounds. They ate trash and scraps. They were like scavengers. And that's what this is being aware of. Beware of these that are coming in and they're being deceitful and they're being cunning and they're trying to weave their way in. These evil workers who insist on the mutilation. And I feel like in this situation, he's talking about the mutilation and circumcision. You know, he's talking about that it's not about the action, but it's the circumcision of the heart. It's not the action of doing it. It's not this mutilation. You could just do anything. You could cut your hair. You could cut your fingers. You could do whatever, but it doesn't account for anything. Religion without Christ destroys joy. And that's what we see here. We see that they're coming in and they're trying to, it's not just Christ. It's not all about Him. Let's take Him out of this picture. Verse 3, we see, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. True believers worship in the spirit. They find glory in Christ, and they put no confidence in the flesh. Man, joy grows whenever we trust Christ. Whenever we really put our trust in Him and not in ourselves. You know, whenever I think about this and how we can see Paul and what he's talking about, it just makes me think of someone who is in an airplane and they say, come on, just let me jump out. And I'm going to flap my little arms just as hard as I can and I'm going to just float right down to the ground. It just doesn't work. You can try it. I promise. There's people that probably have tried it. This is a crazy world. But flying, I'll give it my all. But we need that parachute. We need that one to hold us up, to protect us, to keep us safe. That's only found in Jesus Christ. It's not in us. No matter how hard we do, no matter if we kicked our legs, no matter what we've done, there's nothing that we can do to keep us from facing that judgment outside of Jesus Christ. He is our parachute. He is our hope. He is the one who will hold us up and will keep us in those times. I'm resting. We need to ask ourselves, am I resting in Christ or am I trying to earn God's approval? You know, what are we doing here? Are we resting in Christ? Do you come in here today feeling at peace because I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? Or do we come in here going, I need to do more. I need to do more because I'll never make it. You know, that's what our president said not too long ago. I don't think there's nothing, I know hope for me. I don't think I'll ever make it into heaven. And if it's based on the good works, it's true. But just like anyone else, he can call on the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's the prayer I hope that we all have for everyone around us, is that, you know, we look around this room today, and if the Lord said, it's time right now, let's go. If that trumpet sounded right now, do you look around this room and go, okay, I'm happy, I'm good? Or are there ones that I'm fretting over and I'm going, no, not yet. Please give me a few more minutes. Please let me make that phone call. That's how serious this is. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking at our life and going, man, I can't leave here today without them going with me. I've got to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. I've got to at least try The other day, we were out and about, and I was like, I don't think we're going to make it. And Jenna said, well, if we don't at least try, we'll never know. I was like, I don't know where you heard that, but that's good. That's good. We've got to give it a shot. And that's the way we are. We need to go from this place with the eagerness about our Christ, our Jesus, not in the fact of, I'm going out of here and I'm going to go and I'm going to feed people, I'm going to do all this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying those things will come as fruits. They will come as you work out your salvation. But the key is we have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So we have to ask, do I rejoice in the Lord or in my performance? We have to stop measuring our worth by our performance, by the ministry, by the things that we do, by our moral record. But yet, we have to focus in on that relationship. How close are we drawing to the Lord? How are we reading our Bible? How much do we want? Do we hunger for this relationship? So stop measuring your worth and all that in the things that you do. True joy begins when we stop trusting self and we start trusting the Savior. The second point I want us to look at today is we have to let go of self-righteousness. That's what we've been talking about through all of this. And we see Paul, he's just going to lay it out here for us. Verse 4, it says, I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul's saying, I've done it. I lived the law. I was an example of the law. I was an example of the Jewish. If you want to follow and be a Jew, follow my example. I was it. And he lays it all out here. From birth, he was born, he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, just like the law says, follow the law by the line, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. He didn't just have a little knowledge of the law. He was a lawyer. He was the one that knew the law. Concerning zeal, not only was I a little zealous about it, I persecuted the church. I was going after those Christians who were against what I believed. And then concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. So anything that I could do to earn my righteousness, I did it. I done everything it took. That's what Paul's saying. I was the man. I had it going on. But then what does he tell us? If anyone could trust the flesh, it's me. But it still couldn't save me. It still couldn't save me. Paul uses an accounting language in this of checks and balances. You know, he was in the good. He was showing profit. But yet his bottom line didn't look well. There wasn't any hope. Verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss. So all of this work, everything that once seemed valuable became rubbish. Literally garbage, dung, compared to the surpassing worth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus Christ revealed himself to him, whenever he said, why are you persecuting me? Whenever that light bulb, when it all clicked for Paul, all this other stuff just seemed futile. Seemed useless because it was. The only hope was in Christ. The only hope was in that salvation through Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing that we see about Paul is that we see him working through the law. We see him following the law. But then whenever he came to trust Jesus, whenever he came to be a follower of Jesus Christ, he followed Jesus with that same wholehearted attitude completely sold out to him. No matter what the calling, he was in. He was listening. He was going. He was doing. And that is the way we should be. Whenever we see that we're in such a need and we find Jesus Christ and we have him, we don't need to just say, oh, I'm good now. We need to do just like he was telling us before. We have to work out our salvation. We have to strive to follow him, to stay in that mold that he lived out for us, those desires that he wants for us. You know, he tells everyone, in every instance we see, he says, repent and sin no more. You know, it's not just go and do as you please. You're free. Repent and sin no more. Leave these things, these works, these things that you're trying to buy your way into heaven with. Leave them behind. But focus on the relationship with me. Focus on me. That's the desire that God has, I feel. What was the creation? He created a garden, a wonderful place for man to dwell. But yet, a place for him to dwell with God, where man and God had a relationship. That's what we're walking in today. It's tainted by sin, but it's still that same garden that we're called to walk with him. That's what we should strive to do. We should strive for that relationship, for that one-in-oneness. Man, I hope we hunger for the cool of the day. I hope we look forward to that. That's what Paul is saying. Whatever I've done, whatever I've worked towards, just count it as lost because I've found the one that matters. I've found the thing that makes the most difference in my life. You know, we see missionaries who will sell out everything and they'll move to a foreign land to go and share the good news. And you think, man, these people are crazy. Why would they do that? Because there's not value in those things. It's not value in a house in the United States. But yet there's value in finding kingdom impacts, finding the opportunity to share the good news, taking the light into the darkness. These things are what we're working for. That's what I feel like the Lord has left us here to do, to go and tell, to go and make disciples. And that is what Paul is saying. That's where I found my joy. I found my happiness by working out my salvation. So we have to let go of spiritual pride. You know, it's not a matter of I'm a pastor, so my family, we're all good. Don't worry about us. It don't matter. It don't make a bit of difference. Without Jesus Christ, there's nothing. Well, my dad, he's a deacon. I'm good. Don't matter. It's all personal. One-on-one. We have to cling to Jesus Christ. We have to cling to the cross. You know, joy fades whenever we hold too tightly to things that can't last. And true joy is found in whatever, it's not found in whatever can be taken away from you. You know, someone that I greatly looked up to, a very successful person, really meant a lot in my life, was very well-to-do. But whenever he left this world, he left the same way as the poorest person that you've ever met. He did know Christ. So there was that. But all these worldly riches were left here. You know, all the things that this world would look at and say, man, he has really made it. He has really done great. If he didn't know Jesus Christ, he would have left with nothing. That is the answer for us, is to know Jesus Christ and to hang on to him as our Lord and Savior. But Paul doesn't stop with that. He rejoices in what he has gained. The third point I want us to look at today is that we need to pursue Christ above all. Verse 8, it says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Everything else is trash compared to Jesus Christ. And all the work that he had done, is just, it didn't matter. Jesus was it. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And whenever we can say that to anybody, Jesus is my Lord. You're not going to go and just do whatever John wants to do. You're going to do what the Lord calls you to do if he's truly your Lord. That's the struggles that we have, is who is our Lord? I fight with it. I think we all do, daily. What are our desires? What are our wants? Is that what we look at, or is it that we're looking at, what does Jesus Christ want for me to do? How do I honor my Lord today? Verse 9 says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law." My good works didn't make a mark as far as me moving forward to the kingdom of heaven. There was no righteousness in that. That which is from the law. He goes on to say, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness, what is from God by faith. That righteousness is a free gift. We'll never live up to the righteousness. He tried. We wanted that. As a people, we wanted that. And he tried. Give it a shot. Give it a go. Didn't work. He said, now let me show you. Let me do this for you and trust in me. This is where the righteousness comes from. We're righteous through Jesus Christ. Through that blood that was shed on the cross. Verse 9 says, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You know, how much credit do we give God? And how much credit do we give ourselves? Just thinking about giving as an example. Yeah, seriously. Well, I tithe. I give. I give of my time. I really sacrifice. But what if that is yours? What is that? Well, I work hard. Well, the only reason you work hard is because the good Lord has blessed you with the body to be able to. Well, I made one good deal. I made a lick, and it brought in a chunk of change for me. I'll give my little pennies off of that. It wasn't because of my intelligence that it's just me. That was because the Lord blessed me. You know, I know in the past that, talking about some financial things, that I found people in the church who would go, well, don't rely on me. You know, I was able to give a little extra this time, but don't get a lot of hope up because it may not happen again. Well, friends, whenever you're blessed and you're faithful to the Lord to give in his way, he will keep on giving. I trust him. I trust it. Lord, don't think that what he's doing is just a coincidence. He is blessing us in every step of the way. And that's what he has done for Paul here. Not so much in the finances, but he's done it in the relationship. And we have that relationship. We've got to count it as a big gain. We have a relationship with someone who loves us, who is the creator of all things, who blesses us with health, who blesses us with opportunities, who gives us a chance to get up in the morning and to go out and to serve him. And we can count that all as a gain. And that's what Paul is doing. Whether it be in prison or whether it be from a pulpit, all glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. That's what he says. That's what his life says. Thank you for coming and saving me. Verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul seeks that deeper relationship, that one-on-one. He's not seeking the religion. It's not about going and having the communion. It's not about going and washing feet. It's not about the things, going to the house of the Lord. But it's about knowing his power. It's about sharing in his sufferings. And it's about becoming like him. Sharing in his sufferings. We have to trust that we're going to face the same opposition that Paul's faced, the same opposition that Jesus faced. We have to trust that that's going to happen. And that's why we're being prepared in all these things. You know, Sean, I was talking earlier about a rough few weeks. And she said, I know we're all going through it. And we are. The Bible says there'll be seasons. You know, and we see one side, one family that's going through one season, and yet another one that's going through another season. But that's why as a family we come together like this, and we love and we care, and I pray that we can find comfort. And I pray that we feel the aches and the pains whenever people are in a low spot. It's compassion. It's that relationship. It's that care. It's that willingness to be there and to know that you're being prayed for. You know, sometimes that's all we can do. All we can do is just pray. But I pray that every day we are, as a church family, praying for one another. That we have each other on our minds. That we have each other in our heart. You know, Paul is really focusing on this relationship. The relationship, the one-on-oneness with Jesus Christ. And we can talk about Jesus and having that relationship. And some of us may feel, that's just out of my hand. Jesus is just too popular for me. You know, my brother's here today, and I'm sure he can tell you more stories than me, but Dad was pretty popular. We could go places, and the people would find out who I was. You're David Spear's son? And don't get me wrong, he was a hero to me. He was my dad. But to them, it was like, he's his race car driver. He's, man. That's the relationship that we have with Christ. We have that opportunity to walk with him, to talk with him, to ride in the truck with him. And then when somebody says, you know Jesus Christ, he's my buddy. He's my dad. He's my friend. I know him well. We have that open door. We have that opportunity. It's not that someone is out of our reach. That's not who this Jesus is. He's available for all of us. All we have to do is to call on his name, to seek him out, to dig into these words, and to look for that relationship with him. And that's what Paul is saying. Because I have him, I have everything. True joy is found not in what I achieve, but in whom I know, Jesus Christ. Where do you find your joy? I pray that today that you say, I find my joy in Jesus Christ, that all my hope rests in him. And if that's the case, we go and we do. We go and we live our life. Whether we're living in a struggle, whether we're living in a time of great joy, whether we're living in a time of just hardship, or we're living in a time of blessing. Wherever we live in the joy of Christ. We live in uplifted spirits with him. We live in a hope that all of this is going to pass and that we're going to be reunited with him on one glad day. Man, what hope that is. And if you don't have that hope today, it can be your hope. Don't let this day pass. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. Just ask him. Believe in him. Lord, I know that you came here seeking me. And I admit, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short. But I know you forgive me. I trust that. And I know because of my sin, there's some debt. And I'm so thankful that you paid it on that cross. He did that for us. He did that for you. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, do so today. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Go and sin no more and find comfort. Find joy. Find the love of God in your heart. Lots of things that we can find. We can find false joy in works. We can find just temporary joy in ritual, in status, and self-effort, but we find true joy in grace of Jesus Christ, in that relationship, that one-on-one relationship. We find it in Christ Himself. And we find it in Spirit-powered faith. Whenever the Holy Spirit stirs inside of us, that's where we find that joy. Jesus is not one of the many treasures. He is the treasure. And I pray if you have never made a decision to follow Him, that today will be the day. If there's anything that you're counting as righteousness in your life outside of Jesus Christ, I pray that you just leave that here today. Just lay it down and say, I'm done. Jesus Christ is my all in all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You. Sometimes whenever we dig into Your Word, it hits a little different. Sometimes it steps on my toes. But Lord, I know it's because You love us. It's because You want to correct. It's because You want to redirect. And it's because You want to show Yourself to us. Lord, I'm so thankful for that price You paid on the cross. I'm so thankful for Your love and Your grace and Your willingness to come here, to become a young child, to just totally humble Yourself, to become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. The only sacrifice that can pay for our sins, the only way that we will ever make it into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that that opportunity to have Jesus Christ is open to everyone. No matter what we've done, no matter what our past holds, whether it be self-righteousness, whether it be wrongdoing, no matter what, that door is still open for that relationship. And all we have to do is to call on Your name today, to turn to You, to follow You, to make You the Lord of our life. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that You have saved me. I'm so thankful for those that are here today that You have saved, Lord. And I'm so thankful for those that You have brought into Your house to hear Your good news today, because I know You are wanting to save them as well. Lord, I pray that You will give them a heart today that is desiring a relationship with You. Lord, I pray You save someone. So thankful for Jesus Christ. And it's in His holy name I pray. Amen. If you would, as we stand in this time of closing, if there's anything that's burdening you, if you need to make a decision, I'll be standing down front.